Conference record has joined the conference.
reached a non-working number for the state of New York. For New York State Directory Assistance, please call 518-474-2121. Thank you. 15.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will be terminated in 2 minutes. The leader has turned lecture off, and your line has been unmuted.
Hello? Is anyone else there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm not in New York City, so.
I'm not either. I'm in Buffalo.
Okay.
You haven't heard anything from New York City?
No, I think they're starting, though.
Okay.
The leader has turned lecture on, and your line will remain muted until the conference leader unmutes your line.
Are there people on the line at this point?
Yes, there are.
Who's on the line?
It's David Johnson from the Greater New York Hospital Association.
Okay, hi, Tim.
Hi.
Who is
Jackson?
Oh, hi, David. Sorry to make you wake you up so early. We're a little bit running a little late here, so bear with us.
Anyone come on the line yet?
Yes.
Okay. They haven't started, though?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay.
Susan just wrote back, they are running late and starting the meeting. You should stay on the line. Okay.
Caleb just came on the line.
Yeah. David, where are you?
Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. I'm in Denver, actually. Is it 3-hour difference there or 2-hour difference?
3 hours. Plus the time zone change.
Yeah,
exactly. Daily savings.
Yeah. Hey, Greater New York, we had a staff meeting at 9 o'clock their time, so I had to get on the line at 7 o'clock for that, and which wasn't as bad as when we did it when I was in Seattle, and it was 6 a.m., and I thought, oh, Christ, this is so good. Please don't ask me to say anything.
Good morning, everyone. I want to get started. My name is George Gresham, and I'm the co-chair of this meeting with Dr. Bill Evans. Welcome you all here. We first, tiny note of business, which is you haven't put in your order for your lunch yet. We ask that you do it within the next 15 minutes so that they can make the order and keep that part of the schedule in on time. What we want to do is we want to go around and introduce ourselves. We do know that there are Penny Ambulance and Captain Preston and Bruce McGuire are not able to participate today. We expect to, on the conference call, that Gene Hay, Steve Knight, Tim Johnson, and Charlene Vanderbilt will probably join us through the phone. So it's important when people are addressing, making comments, that you use the microphone so that folks on the phone can actually hear your comments. Also, I think, why don't we start by going around the room, introducing ourselves, and then we can continue at this point. I'll start to my left with my co-chair.
I'm Bill Levinstein. Good morning, Henry Fernandez, the Associate Commissioner of the New York State Office of Mental Health.
Assembly Health Committee Chair Richard Godfrey.
Lauren Johnson, New York City Health and Hospitals Corporation.
It's Peggy Powell, PHI, National Director for Curriculum Workforce Development.
Brian O'Malley with Consumer Directed Personal Assistance Association.
Robert Hughes, President-elect of the Society of State of New York.
Center for Health
Workforce
Studies.
I'm Kareem, I'm a retired oral maxillofacial surgeon and from the Chicago County Board of Health.
Okay, executive director of 1199 FDA, trying to inform the fund. Hi, I'm Joy L. Wells from the Nurse Practitioner Association. Mary Ellen Yankowski, Director of Policy and Advocacy for the Dental Hygienists Association of the State of New York. Catherine Hackliner, visiting her first.
Bill Krakow, Director of Workforce Development for the Community Healthcare Association of New York State.
I am Deb Elliott. I'm from the New York State Nurses Association, and I'm filling in for Tina Joy.
Good morning. I'm Fred Heigl from the Healthcare Association of New York State.
Good morning, I'm Audrey Weiner from Jewish Home Life Care.
Hi, good morning, I'm Stephen Hance with Featherston, Owen & Klein, sitting in on behalf of David Jackson from the New York State Society of Physician Assistants.
Good morning, Doug Whitman, CFO of Health Care Matter.
Good morning, Moira Dolan, District Council 37 Aspen.
Marianne Ang from the New York State Department of Health.
Sarah Gray, State Department of Health.
Caleb Wister, State Department of Health.
Helen Bowne, Staff
Doug Marnovich, Deputy Commissioner of State.
Karen Westerveld, Department of Health.
So that introduces, I don't know if there are folks on the phone that can actually identify themselves at this point.
Tim Johnson from the Greater New York Hospital Association.
David Jackson, New York State Society of Physician Assistants.
Charlene Vanderbilt, New York State Department of Labor.
Teddy, Care, the Rural Health Council.
The last speaker, can you speak a little louder? Jean, just to let you know, we're having a hard time. So if you want to get our attention, try to speak as loudly as you can or raise your hand so that we can at least know you're trying to get our attention. And so I'd like to bring now to address us. He's the Deputy Commissioner of the Office of Professions of the New York State Education Department, Doug Ledger.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity today to speak. I guess I was asking for a presentation, a little bit of confusion about what education is in our department does and what our roles are and how we do it. I thought it was nice to hear that. We have about 49 licensed professionals in the department that are ultimately overseen by the Board of Regents and the University Education Department. What that means is that we have professional boards, people who are public officers that are appointed by the Board of Regents that oversee the licensing disciplines and practice of that profession. I guess the key to what we're talking about here is the practice of that profession. So what would happen is if there was a question about what the practice of or architect, or CPA, or physical therapy, or what have you, where it comes out, those state boards will become involved in the issue and then advise the department in terms of making a decision about where the scope of that practice would lie. And of course, the scope of practice is always limited to the statutory definition of what the Practice Act is, but probably most people are familiar with the Practice Act, and they read more like constitutions than they do like a simple statute. So, listing out what the boundaries of those practices are and try to start becomes very difficult. But we have 49 professions, head amounts of 26 state boards those professions sit on, and those boards are not very comprised of licensed professionals who are independent practitioners, public officers. And they come to the table with really only one thing in mind, and that's protection of the public. They have to be independent. They can't come to a representative of any particular group or every interest or independent. And it's a process we've had for over 100 years. And I think it works very well in terms of the interpretation of facts. I guess that the importance to the committee today is not only just the process, but the awareness that we have sometimes when you get involved with a test like this. Line drawing is always difficult. And every time you draw a line, there's kind of a situation where you decide on it. In this case, the committee is looking at drawing lines relating to expanding social practice. And rest assured, we do that in terms of interpretation of what that practice means. If we go to the legislature, if this practice is actually not supported, the legislature then takes on the issue totally. But when we engage in that discussion, always involve
that ranked throughout all of our health care in terms of health practices. And we had a lot of issues. We couldn't possibly do things to resolve that. It happened with the CCA, social practice, we had a lot of issues. So I think the thing to keep in mind is when these practices act are being considered, historically, it's taken a long time to make a criticism that it was a scotchy process. But I think the reason it takes a while is that it needs to be a very informed process. When you take a situation such as the drawing a line for what, how much this person can be a home health care aide or personal care aide, maybe you think there is a health care aide and another in the way you're doing now. Certainly, it's not going to just impact Medicaid. But it's also an impact in ways unintended. If you take something off the table that's there, a task that was done by one type of individual, that means that individual will not be involved in the patient for that task. It also means that individual will not be involved in the patient at such a time. So you will see other types of things happen. You'll see other types of things in healthcare that occur. We see those coming to us if you kind of I think there will be a feeling out here about whatever the work comes from this group in the future. So I just wanted to, I think it was important really today to do the process that exists currently, what we struggle with, and why we're very, very ready of the culture process involving change, and a very deliberate process of engaging and engaging growth. Spend 5 minutes. I hope it will be helpful.
Thank you, Doug. Are there any questions or any further clarifications, Catherine?
I guess the question that comes to mind is that the charge that we as providers have been given by the administration is in many different ways to break down our silos and to put together coordinated teams and to work differently within our organizations and across organizations. And that charge has been really clear as a way that the system needs to work more efficiently to deliver higher quality and to rethink our boundaries. And so I'm trying to put that in up next to what you're describing, which sounds, as you described the board, they sound like they're still very focused on individual succession. And so what mechanism is there? I mean, have you been given that charge? Have you been given that charge as well? And is there a team-based approach that you are thinking of as well to review these issues going forward?
Well, I mean, I think that's a good point. It looks like that a nursing board, for example, would take on nursing staff, and that would be a nursing board maker of the determination. But in New York, which I think is a very, very reflective state on the situation, all professions reside together, and they reside together in a way that we have joint practice committee, and ultimately those determinations go to the Board of Regents. There's going to be a regulatory change or a major change in policy as part of that type of activity. We always have, all our meetings are open meetings. We seek out public comments for everything we do. We're aware of silos too. Silos are a negative thing in terms of protecting the public. That's certainly not what we want to do. Should there be more openness in terms of outreach?
Seeing no further questions or discussion, I goal to be put on the agenda that said the discussion of plans to address multi-year strategy, and we have Gene Moore representing the center, the health workforce study. Gene.
Thank you. So, context, as I understand it, the...
Jane, maybe you can come a little closer to the microphone.
Okay, how's this? Okay, very good. So, as I understand it, that the proposal that I had put forth, proposal number 8, related to establishing a process and structure for assessing scope of practice changes, is really one of the only proposals that really support a multi-year strategy. And I want to tell you...
Excuse me, could I just interject that the proposal is on your desk there. It's number to revise number 8. You should all have copies of that.
Thanks, Taylor. So what happened was the proposal you saw last time was not written by me. It was written by others on behalf of me. And the proposal you will see now is different based on my thoughts and conversations with others, including Doug at the State Education Department. So when I looked at the comments on the old proposal, you know, I was not surprised to see that it got mixed reviews. I think, first of all, it wasn't like the others. It wasn't about proposing a change in scope of practice. It was really more about describing a process that I think could be very valuable going forward. And again, I think that we need to be mindful that some of the things we've been discussing here are the tip of the iceberg, that we are looking at a lot of change in terms of the health service delivery system, what's going to look like, who's going to be in it, what services are going to be provided, and who provides it. And I would say that other states are struggling with similar issues. On the way down, I was reading a number of articles about other states and the strategies that they're looking at. And again, I was trying to build on that when I laid this proposal out. So what I'd like to do is talk you through the revised proposal that I was involved in constructing and solicit your feedback on it. So what I am proposing is to establish an advisory committee to the State Education Department to support an interagency review of proposals to develop, expand, modify scopes of practice for healthcare professionals. I think it's really critical that we support SED's efforts to use objective, evidence-based data and research to inform decisions. Initially, I had put this together and said, well, it would include agencies like the State Health Department, the State Labor Department, Office of Mental Health, SUNY, CUNY. But there are other agencies that are charged with either overseeing service delivery or providing it. So groups like the agency that serves people with disabilities, OASAS, among others. So, again, my laying out of who I think is certainly open for discussion. The other thing I think there needs to be as part of this is an organization with expertise in health workforce and research, such as the center, although it certainly doesn't have to be the center, to staff the committee, providing access to relevant data and information that you need to effectively review proposals to change scopes of practice. So ultimately, I think the goal of this group is to support fair, expeditious, expert, objective reviews of scope of practice proposals. I think currently decision-making on scope of practice matters tends to be somewhat fragmented. And frankly, I think there are a lot of turf issues. I think it becomes an us-them push-pull. And at times, I think that these proposals are not fully assessed for their impacts on cost, quality, access to care. So, again, my goal is to try to create an opportunity for a full assessment of the evidence, to look at research on a particular proposal, experience in other states, among others. And again, this interagency advisory committee that I've proposed is really designed to assist FDD in the effective review of sober practice proposals and to support the development of a standardized process to assess them. And ultimately, I think that this is designed to be a tool to support informed decision-making. Again, it's not meant to commandeer or usurp, but really to provide support and take the best available evidence and apply it to the circumstances. But the other thing that I think we may want to consider, and again, going forward, it may be an appropriate approach, is to look at the option of time-limited demonstration projects to test the effectiveness of new approaches to the provision of health service delivery. So this is where we may have some ideas that sound promising, but we don't have sufficient data to know how effective it is. And we can create some time-limited demos that are very carefully evaluated to figure out whether or not the proposal makes sense. And one thing I will tell you, for those who commented who said, well, this is just a stall tactic, we have the data we need, let's move forward, this shouldn't stop. This proposal shouldn't stop us from moving forward on those proposals that we feel we have the evidence and we believe is appropriate that is currently under review by this committee. But I would caution you to say, I think this is the tip of the iceberg. I think as we begin to figure out new ways of delivering care, these issues are going to continue to come up. And I see this proposal as a starting point. I think that it's a starting point for the state to have going forward. And I will tell you that there's a lot missing from this that I'm hoping this committee can help add to related to getting input from other key stakeholders, such as professional associations, provider organizations, and another group that I think we don't think about enough, consumers. So this was the basis for the proposal, and this is my description of what it's for and what it believes, what I believe it can do, and again, why I think that it represents a starting point for the state going forward in assessing scope of practice issues.
Thank you, Jane. At this point, I would open up discussion and one, if there are any discussions or questions or clarification. And at the same time, turn this portion of the meeting back to my co-chair, Bill Edison, or not back to, but to Bill. Yeah.
Thank you, Richard. Okay,
I think for some of us, and I know that we have addressed this thing, that this is not a place for good ideas to go to die, that this is a place to objectively look at research and outcomes. However, those of us, those interest groups around the state who have legislation before the American legislature need to have assurances and confidence that this will not become the black hole into which all the good ideas go, that this will not be a strategy for continuing to obstruct and delay the progress of legislation. So I think we would like to hear more about how the structure of the committee, we don't even know that yet, how the structure of this might work. Is this something that's going to put an imprimatur of approval or disapproval on legislation that's going through? Does legislation have to go to the troops first and stay there for a while? Those are some of the concerns that the nurse folks are on the
table. So let me just say, I mean, clearly, this is all in the details. And I think it's not necessary to plant any group who has responsibility right now. And frankly, the legislature ultimately makes decisions, and in states where a structure like this exists, oftentimes it's meant to be advisory. It's meant to provide recommendations, but that the legislature has the option to not act on those recommendations if they feel that there is compelling evidence in another direction. You know, I think the success or failure of this will depend on the flesh we put on these bones. And so, again, my sense is that I think we need to have an open process that's informed by evidence. And, again, I didn't have a particularly fixed idea about the exact design of this. But, again, we look to the committee for thoughts on how to make it happen in a successful way. If the group believes this is an important approach.
Yeah, I'd like to offer sort of a further refinement on Gene's proposal. The center has, from time to time, produced studies that have been, I think, enormously valuable to the legislature and others in dealing with workforce issues, and if a charge from the MRT or from the MRT then confirmed in a reference in legislation would give the center, a sense of, I don't know, enhanced legitimacy or a basis for proposing funding and staffing for that kind of research, I think that would be very valuable to the healthcare system and to the legislature, because I think the output of the center would be really useful. My concern with creating an advisory committee is that, apart from the fact that there's no way to have a sense of who's going to end up being on it, and depending on who's on it, they could be either people who agree with me or not. My guess is we all look at such an advisory committee through those spectacles. Maybe I'm the only one, I don't know. But my concern with it is that when it comes out with a recommendation, people who agree with that recommendation will say, oh, the advisory committee says we ought to do X, so let's go ahead and do it. People who disagree with it will say, that's just some advisory committee. You know, you're the legislature. It's really up to you to decide. Don't be led around by that advisory committee. So I'm not sure how much an advisory committee adds to the process. And part of my concern is that there are so many ways to kill a good or bad idea. Adding more potential hurdles, I don't think really helps. And I see an advisory committee as being more often unintentionally serving as a hurdle. I think if the center feels from time to time that it would benefit from having a collective of knowledgeable voices, diverse maybe not, to guide it in its work and to bounce ideas off of and get evaluations from, I'd be all in favor of the center, you know, from time to time convening study groups or work groups or advisory groups. But my focus would be on making sure that the center feels it has whatever statement of mission it needs and hopefully the funding that it needs to do this work. Any other comments? Yes, Lauren.
Thank you. I think I just need a little clarity. We heard from the Department of Education that you're not working in a silo, you have a lot of input, and you feel like you have the information to make decisions. And then there's a group saying we really need to advise the Department of Education. So am I the only one that's hearing two messages? I'm not sure. Do you think you needed an advisory group?
I mean, I think our system works quite well, and it has worked quite well. I think what Gene approached us with is the idea of getting more metrics, of getting more information, which, we're a limited enterprise in that type of thing. I can't say that that's a bad thing. I think getting more information, getting more metrics, especially as they go to capacity and those types of issues, are things that isn't as easy for us. It takes more time. And we may get it, but it becomes time-owning. So I guess, we think that the things that types of things Gene is proposing could be helpful, could be valuable in terms of those types of things. Do we get a wide variety of information? Would we say, yes, we do that now. Could we do a quicker and more efficient job if we get more metrics, if we get more information, of course.
Please speak into the microphone.
Trying. I mean, I'm also ahead of my nose, but I'm trying to speak into the microphone.
I'm just wondering if we have a practice of doing demonstration projects here in New York, because I think that, I'm just wondering if we have a process of doing demonstration projects and evaluation here in New York, because I think that's an intriguing idea that could help us actually get more evidence in areas where we don't have it, and I think the question of objective evaluation of those demonstration projects would also be something important.
Deborah
Helley. Hi, I'd like to also expand upon that and echo what Joy said earlier, and also expand upon what Assemblyman Gottfried said. I think that it's imperative that we collect data, and we don't have enough data, and that's part of the problem with some of this, that we don't have enough evidence to support what it is we're trying to do. I would like to see us move forward with some of these proposals and do some demonstration projects and set up something that's a little bit more concrete and just saying collecting the data. Instead of trying to step back now, I think we need to move forward. Because one of my concerns is at what point and who decides which proposals we have enough evidence for already and which, we could really get into this debate at this point in time. And I think that we just need to start moving forward and collect data along the way. Set up a process to do that.
I would very much like to support Deborah's perspective. I would just be reluctant to imagine that all of the work that's being done here will now need to go through this body. Although I think that certainly there's a great deal of merit in terms of having this group or the group from the university itself actually look at the data and have some opinions about it that could be helpful in terms of refining that which we're doing in the MRT work.
Bill?
Yes, I want to support the idea, and I'm particularly concerned with respect. I want to respectfully disagree with you, Assemblyman Gottfried, on the idea of a time-to-time convening of a body. I think that has inherent challenges, and part of the success of such an advisory body, I think, relies on the way in which it is formed and the objective manner in which the membership of it is achieved. But in terms of the product of such an advisory committee, I think we, in this process we've been engaged in right now, had different folks presenting evidence. But the advantage of such an advisory committee would be to have a body which could provide the Department of Education and whoever's making the final decisions with a summary of the evidence and an objective assessment of the varieties of evidence that could be provided. I think one of the challenges we have encountered in this deliberation process is that it has appeared to me at times that there is almost an assumption that because this party is presenting this evidence, if this party is presenting that evidence, that there's something questionable about the evidence. So I think there's a really important point that's being made here about the idea of compiling and assessing the evidence so that you have an objective review of the evidence for the body that's ultimately making the decision to be able to review.
Thank you, Bill. Any other comments? Debbie.
Gina, I'm just not clear in terms of what the other people are saying. What is your proposal in terms of the issues that are before us now? Because I think that does seem to be, concern of many people here that the work that we're doing and where we've been asked to really make proposals that will move things would be held up by this proposal. And you're talking about it as a long-term strategy, so could you clarify that?
Sure. This was never meant to be, let's slow everything down and review everything very carefully before moving forward, because I really believe that if there are proposals here on the table that really do show a lot of promise and could move forward, we should do it. But I also think that, again, as I said, I think this is the tip of the iceberg. I think as we begin to look at new ways to deliver health care, and Catherine, as you point out, the team-based models of care, there will be lots of scope overlap. There will be lots of need for clarification about who can do what and who can't, et cetera. And I think there needs to be a broader dialogue that clearly the State Education Department is in the lead, but also includes agencies, among others, to talk through what's being proposed. I mean, I was having an interesting discussion with Doug, who was looking at some of these proposals and said, you know, it looks like some of these may actually be acceptable as is without any sort of adjustment to scope of practice rules. And, you know, who knew? And so, again, I just feel like we need a place to bring these issues in and determine, do we need evidence? Or is it okay to move forward now? But I don't feel that place is there right now, and maybe because I just haven't looked that hard. But, again, I think the opportunity to have dialogue about where the system is headed and where the professions are headed to make sure that the two sync up better is critical. And again, I'm not convinced it's there right now in a way that I think is useful for all of the people here.
I make a comment.
Okay, someone from the phone, identify yourself and go ahead.
It's Tim Johnson.
I
want to speak up in support of Gene's proposal. And I guess the way I would think about this is, to me, this proposal is very much like establishing something akin to the Medicare Payment Advisory Committee. And without digressing into all the minutiae about that, just let me say, the Medicare Payment Advisory Committee essentially looks at issues broadly that will support the better operations of the Medicare program for the sake of Medicare beneficiaries. They don't review legislation. They don't vet legislation and give opinions on it. They simply bring up issues and say, we as a group have identified these particular issues as ones that the various agencies of the federal government and the members of the Congress should look at, and we consider important to focus your attention on, that will better deliver a better system of care for Medicare beneficiaries. Similarly here, I would say that Gene's proposal, if it were to go forward, would simply identify issues that the group thinks would it's important for the State Education Department, the State Department of Health, the members of the Assembly and the State Senate and the Executive Branch to look at and say, these are issues that if you wanted to really support the better delivery of care, health care in New York State, these are particular issues that we think require attention, and here are some possible ways of addressing them. And I agree also that I don't think it should hold up particular recommendations that the group feels are ripe and ready to go forward, but I do think that it's something that, there's no, I don't see the downside of really agreeing to this proposal going forward as a long-term strategy.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah, Robert Hughes, I'd like to speak in favor of this recommendation also. My father, who was also a physician, told me that I could learn from my own mistakes or I could learn from someone else's. There is a lot of data, a lot of models, a lot of projects that are out there, but we have no way to collate that data and to investigate that in a unified fashion. So I agree with Ms. Elliott's comment, though, that really we don't have adequate data to investigate these issues. We've heard from Doug that there's 49 professions, but there's no really effective deliberating process. I was struck by these comments that there are joint practice committees that already exist, but I don't think that they're effective. coming up with an integrated process. And that's what we really need. You know, we certainly recognize that there are changes developing, and we have to be open to changes in development of the workforce. But I'd rather do it in a fair and deliberative process so that we have at least some sense of what the outcome will be. Everyone here really has the future New York State in mind, and I think together we could work together through a committee like this and get it done right.
Any other comments, Kat?
I'm just saying that I think it's one thing to have or establish database clearinghouse in the Senate, which I think would be positive. Which would be beneficial. On the other hand, I would echo some of the Gottfried comments in that whether it's an unintended consequence, it could ultimately result in a hurdle or a burden to various initiatives moving forward, both in the legislative and executive arena. So I think there are two different things here. Set up an advisory committee, more to utilize the center as a clearinghouse, provide data together that
could
be beneficial to the
department
and other.
Any other comments?
Yeah, as I look at the language in the proposal, one other thing that concerns me is that the only groups that are mentioned as being sources of members of the group are overwhelmingly governmental. And while some of my best friends are in government, I think the real value of an entity like this is if its members are predominantly non-governmental, and academic and professional. And the makeup of a body that would make sense for studying one particular question might be totally useless in studying a different question. If 5 years from now we're studying something more about the dental hygienist, or you know whether there ought to be podiatry assistance, having OMH and the Department of Labor on the task force or advisory body may not be particularly useful.
I agree completely. And one of the first things I said was I really view this as a starting point to coming up with a strategy that is more all-encompassing. It includes not only the professions and the providers, but also consumers. So, again, this I viewed as a starting point. The other thing I've seen in my readings is that there are some of the states that are moving in this direction will convene work groups, and those work groups include the most relevant players that look beyond governmental agencies to talk through issues around a particular topic. So, again, it was really an effort to build a structure, at least a beginning structure, that evolves around, you know, what are the topics that are being considered, what's under review, and who needs to weigh in. So would OMH need to weigh in on podiatry? No. Would Department of Labor need to weigh in? So again, I feel like it was just who are the relevant agencies to be involved. But I thought that posing this to this committee would probably be able to get a lot of insights on how we build from there the relevant groups that need to be involved in these discussions. So I agree.
Other comments? Catherine, you look like you're thinking.
I am. I'm really struggling because, on the one hand, we can argue with the value of assembling and analyzing evidence objectively, right? And who can argue with value from learning from what's out there and from other experiences. That all completely makes sense. And I think what I'm struggling with is, in the space where somebody's doing something like that, what's the structure, what's the pre-existing condition? What's the structure that already exists, and how are they interacting with it? And I guess, you know, to the point made earlier, I'm trying to, I don't want to do another layer. I don't want to, we already don't have enough resources to do what we need to do. It feels like we need more and different analytic resources applied to this sort of problem. We're not describing a change in decision making because this is something that's advisory. So there is a need. I'm not quite sure that we've quite figured out the most efficient way to meet that need in the context of where we're already working. And I think if I'm struggling now, it's what I'm struggling about.
Yeah.
Tom Curran, I want to agree with Jean, not just because she's sitting next to me, but I think that probably this is the most important suggestion that has come before this committee. The committee is, in 1 month, cannot do everything it's been suggested that we could do. And anything that is statutory in our recommendations is going to need further analysis. And I think that giving a way of getting that analysis is very important.
Any other comments? Yes, Mary Ellen.
Just very simply, and I tend to go for very simple solutions to things. It would seem to me, and I think this is just mimicking a bit what Catherine said, it would seem to me that we need to support our Center for Health Workforce Studies so that they can gather the information and make the analysis that we all need support the proposals that we have now and will be going forward to. So perhaps this is something as simple as truly supporting our own New York State Center for Health Workforce Studies.
Amen. Other comments?
Yeah,
Mary Ellen.
Just
what is the process now that these changes in scopes of practice are evaluated and implemented the State Education Department, because an advisory committee will make these recommendations, but if there's no change in procedures that you follow, there will be recommendations forward.
Well, I think there's two parts that you have to look at. First of all, the initial question would be, there's a change in practice, is the desire to change in practice, is it permissible under the current scope, and that's where State Education Department will come in the first place. Is what's going on requiring the scope of practice change at all, or is this something that the language of the law will allow us to oversee the profession and people into professional misconduct? If that's permissible where it is, sometimes like that these are very broad-based statutes, and you look at them and sometimes, for example, giving an injection was not in the scope of practice nursing at one point. The language didn't change. But the way that language is read and construed, today it would be crazy to think that nurses wouldn't give injections. There are physicians who give injections. So that's the first stage. That's done, and the process is done by that. Is the board is solely a question relating to the scope of practice of a single profession, single board. That board will take it on, and all the members of that will come together, and they will have open meetings on that. The board needs to be open on that. If they were to involve more than one, we put together joint practice committee. The board might meet jointly, whatever it took to do that. And then that recommendation would go to the board leads or the commissioner to make the final determination. However, most of the things you're talking about today, most of the things as part of this group, is we don't see the way for that change to be accommodated by simply construing the statute differently. That would require legislative change to remove the we certainly would take the issue to the legislature and say we think this is problematic, we think it's time to change it to another level. But anybody in the state of New York can bring that to the legislature for legislative instruction.
Gene.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So there are a couple of other pieces to this that I think are really important. And first of all, let me say, for those of you who are clearly in support of the center, thank you. It's really great to hear. But there are a couple of other pieces to this that I want to bring up because I think they're so important. Number one, the idea of supporting some demonstration projects to test out models that we may not have a lot of evidence on and we think it's a good idea. That to me is very compelling, and I think, again, while we can certainly provide evidence, it may not be that there's enough evidence to move forward on something that we think would be a good idea and worth trying out. The other thing I think is that, you know, it strikes me that a change in scope of practice isn't the end point, it's a starting point. And after a change in scope of practice, I want to evaluate what happened. I want to know, did it work? Didn't it work? How did it affect cost, quality, access? So right now, we don't have a way to do that. And again, my thought on this proposal was to build in opportunities to do those sorts of things, to really understand what happens when we make a change in scope of practice, and at the end of the day, how it affects patients. So, again, the evidence is one piece of it, but I think there's a broader effort to understand impact and to inform future decisions.
Comments? Okay, well, I'll take up rather than make a few comments of my own as a member of the group. I think this would be a really serious missed opportunity if we don't do something in the area of creating and either. Obviously, this has been a very thoughtful, well-meaning conversation, and people made very good points, I think. So it's clear that, you know, and as Gene said, this is the first step in even trying to conceptualize it. But if we don't do something, I feel it would be a very serious missed opportunity. One point regarding to our work is we're part of our charge to create a multi-year strategy. And right now, we just have proposals. We're not addressing that. And I really feel it's important that we address that charge in our committee in some form. Okay? And in that case, it may not be this necessarily, but I feel that it was very important as part of our charge. I think it's clear that whatever is set up should not interfere with current proposals. I'm making a deliberate generalization that some of the people who are most reservations on people who have very well-developed proposals going forward, and maybe they want to make sure that that's not they're not derailed in some way or put in some, you know, hurt that going forward. So, you know, I know that's certainly not the intention of this particular group, because really it's a long-term thing. We need something like this in the future. So I don't know quite how to deal with it, but it's certainly not intended to, you know, to interfere with current processes in any way. And maybe there's some ways to ensure that that doesn't happen, that it's not meant to goes here before it goes someplace else. We're moving forward very quickly. We have a full MRD. These are proposals we're going to go to the governor long before any such committee would exist. I would see this as where good other or future ideas go to be maybe to be more successful, not a place where good ideas die. That was what it was. Obviously, that's no one's intention. And again, I know people were talking about unintended consequences. All those things are real. You just have to be smart and. But, you know, all those things also may not even go forward with something you need desperately. I mean, we heard about the SEC process. Some of you have been working on these things for years, decades, and this is where you are today. So it's not as if some extraordinary track record here that's working. And it's not really good for the SEC has described this process, and it goes to it. And we have all of these other, you know, whether it's statutory state boards and all of that. The comment made about team-based care and where we're going also necessitates that we have something like this that can break down or begin to break it down. If this was based on, if this was going to create hurdles, as people have said, that that's not what, that means we've been set up badly. It's meant to just the opposite. It's not just about the center. We do support the work. I mean, I certainly support the work because many of us know it as an extraordinary place, but this is not just the center. It's something bigger than that, or not bigger necessarily, but different than that. Although it does build on what we have here, which is an incredible resource, not only of Gene Moore as a person, but of the center. This is, you know, a nationally recognized, expertise that we have here in New York that if we did not bring into this process, I think we're missing out just in an extraordinary way. So much can be said about the composition of the stakeholders and many of these other things, and maybe there's even softer language, like consider establishing or something like that, that softens it a little bit. I don't know if that's the case. The real point is somehow that for this group not to come up with something that, you know, addresses a multi-year strategy and something in this direction with these intentions, I think would be a really big mistake.
I'm just wondering whether one way of separating this from the issues that we're discussing, because a number of them may have to have statutory changes in 12 to 13, would be to say that this should go into effect in 13, 14, so that it would not be mixed up with the discussion of these issues as they go to the legislature this year. But I do think that the question of someone has to be raised about adequate funding for the center, and potentially we might be able to come up with some ideas of a research agenda for this year that we would want for the center to do in terms of some of the issues that we know we're going to be facing in the future. Just a suggestion.
Someone want to
say something?
Yes, this is Tim Johnson. I guess just following up on Debbie's point, which I thought was a good one, maybe could folks that might have expressed some reservations about this proposal, I think it was Catherine and maybe Joy and maybe some others, would it be possible for them to suggest some language that would address their concerns to maybe modify the proposal in some way? Because I do think that there's general agreement, and if there's concerns about that, it might be misconstrued to be something that people are not intending it to be. Maybe there's a way to just incorporate that into the proposal.
So let me say a few things. That leads into, like, what do we do now? So where can we go from here? So people, you know, made their, you know, views clear. Anybody? So this is one suggestion. Are you suggesting, Tim, that the proponent, in this case, say Gene, that the individuals that have you know, questions or concerns, speak with Gene, try to come up with language that might be acceptable to them.
If at all possible.
If at all possible. Well, we do have between now and I think we have to send the recommendations up on the 15th, I believe. So we have a few days to, not much, I mean, you know, but you should see if that's possible. I don't know if it is, but at least it sets up a conversation. What do people think about that idea?
I mean, I have some suggestions. I don't know whether they would go too far to the other end, so it's just really not helpful, but I think we've identified a range of things that need to happen, and so one stumble that I get is that range of things an advisory committee, or for purposes of a proposal to move something forward, is that we need to develop a mechanism and let it then figure out whether it's an advisory committee or something else. I think identifying the membership so specifically as state agencies is problematic. I would say government, consumer, you know, providers, something like that, because I think having it identified so, you know, the specific city and kind of not even really saying anything about anybody else is very problematic. And then to identify the functions that people talk about in terms of assessing evidence, assessing the impact of changes, I think I would like to see whatever this mechanism is be something that is make suggestions and recommendations, not just reactive. The way, I mean, if you think about, I think Tim's analogy to Medcap, well, that was a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's interesting because they have an independent analytic staff that looks at issues and makes recommendations, and Congress picks them up or not, and things come to them, so things, they certainly generate things independently. A proactive way, and that's, you know, that's, and I guess the other thing that I want to say is that all of this needs to start with what is it that we're trying to do for patients, and it's got what are the important changes that we have to make in order to do what we need to do for people, patients, New Yorkers, and then what does that mean about the workforce? It's not about the workforce, it's about the patients and grounding it in that way. Very important as well. So I don't know whether that's just two different other themes or whether there's something there that could be workable for those of us.
Anyway, just entertaining ideas of what to do with the proposal at this point, I guess.
I think the notion of informally trying to massage the language between now and sometime before the close of business of November 15 makes a lot of sense. The thoughts that I think would advance in that context would be to make clear that it would be state ed that would be convening the advisory committee, since it's an advisory committee to state ed. I would suggest that it's, say, one or more advisory committees, and the sentence that talks about all the government agencies, I would take that out and perhaps replace it with general references to, as someone just said, government, professions, workforce, consumers, et cetera.
Okay, so just again, I'm trying to be a little bit mindful of the time, and we're postponing tonight, but this is, I think, very, very important to continue. For a moment, these things, but to get to a closure on this issue about going forward. The only thing I would suggest is not that if we go through each of the particular changes that are being suggested, that we have to do outside of this committee. So what I'd like to suggest is that between now and 15, whether this just keep this for those people who would like to speak to Jean, speak to her or email her with some of the thoughts, just see if there's anything that's going to be valuable or whatever form can take place. But I just want to, so we don't want to go around the room now and have each of the specifics now. That would take too much time. What is the process of closure on this issue? Bill?
I'm wondering if you sense enough of an agreement or consensus that we could take a straw poll of the room. I'm not sure what the process is. To move it forward and say that, given the feedback that the author will be getting, that we as a group give our tentative approval or support. Something like that.
And could it not be part of the second part of our charge, which is to establish some mechanism to have a long-term? I mean, why are we not taking what Jane has started on the commentary and making that our very first process in the long-term strategy?
Well, that may be very good. That's the kind of comment that you make. Maybe that's what it'll turn into. I mean, I feel it should turn into something. Otherwise, in my personal view, we're missing something. It's not as if the system now is working so great. Okay, so we have to get closure on this. So let's, is it, Debbie?
So would you seem like maybe James could circulate something as soon as possible if she's gotten some input, and we could just all say our approval that it would be as part of the long term strategy, and it would be a vote. But we'd actually have the concrete proposal in a few days so that we could actually.
All right, so at least we could say that we would, over the next days, Jean will work on integrating already the comments she heard today, further communications, and we'll just see at that point how far, if it does appear as if most of the parties, or even all the parties, can somehow be accepting of a formulation of this. We'll just make that judgment somehow, and we'll have to figure out a way to communicate with the full group. We haven't figured it out quite yet, but we'll figure something out to see if we can get in under that particular deadline. And if not, we'll just have to, we'll just have to make a decision at that point. Is that all right? Anything else on this end? We have a lot of other exciting times ahead of us today, so that's, okay, great. Thank you very much, Gina. I thought the comments were great, and let's just see if we can salvage it in some form going forward. Appreciate it. Okay. Let me look here. Yes. So we really got quite a bit behind, but we'll try to get to this now. So now we have the discussion of the priority scoring results, what consensus means to us, and the selection process. Maybe Karen, you want to start? Is that all right? In terms of the prioritization process? Okay, all right, so let's start with that then. So we have this process. where we prioritize the proposals. And we were, you know, we were asked to, I guess you say, limit our proposals originally to 5 proposals. Okay? We had, I think, 17 that were on, that were scored. Okay? And by everyone, I think just one person, one member of the group didn't score, you know, commit to score. So we heard from pretty much everyone. And we decided, it was a somewhat arbitrary decision, that we would, 5 was not enough. You know, we wanted to move forward. We said, double that, 10 proposals, okay. You know, I guess we'll have to deal with that, with, you know, the people who run it. But so we wanted to expand that a little bit because we felt we had, there were, you know, 10 proposals. And that's one thing. So what we want to consider today are the top 10. And none of you know where your proposals are, if you're a proponent or not. You know, it's somewhat arbitrary, I agree, but, you know, it's quite as many proposals as they wanted us to come forward in the first place. That's the first thing. The second thing is, well, why do we need to move forward? And what we decided, and again, somewhat arbitrary decision, is we hope we can get unanimity for it. By the way, we're also talking about a slate of proposals. We decided since the full MRT will have to vote on the full slate, we should vote on the full slate. There's no point in doing sort of the individual ones. Each of the proposals to be presented today, again, and comments may be made, but we wanted to vote on the full slate of 10. And we decided that a two-thirds supermajority for our case here would be a supermajority to at least move forward. Remember, this moves it forward to the MRT, and you've got your ways to vote there as well. So those were the decisions that we made as chairs in consultation with, you know, the MRT, the full MRT, and so on, or the leadership of the Department of Health. So I just wanted to run that by you and, you know, ask your indulgence. Obviously, these things are somewhat arbitrary, but we seem to be a very fair way to go forward. So, you know, that would be, allow us to go forward in a professional type of way. So let me just take those points and get comments. Yes, Bill.
Question. Within the slate of 10, is there any prioritization, or is it just the slate of 10?
I believe we're going to be presented like number 1, number 2, and, you know, top 10. Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions?
You know, I've either commented on and voted on so far 4 work groups without checking back to my notes. I wouldn't want to testify to this under oath, but I don't think any of them has submitted 10 or fewer recommendations. I know it is common in the executive branch to tell state agencies that they can't have more than 5 program bills in a year, which results in them submitting 5 bills, each of which has like 20 sections, most of which have nothing to do with one another, which kind of messes up our work. But I can't imagine why this work group ought to be limited in how many proposals it can make. It just makes no sense to me.
I don't think, if we weren't limited in it, you know, if that was a suggestion, I guess, we have a prioritization process. So we're trying to put forward a slate that is something that we have, you know, pretty good, you know, some measure of support for, you know, as part of by the prioritization process. Otherwise, what would we prefer?
If items 11 through 17 have support within the group, why shouldn't they go to the full MRT?
Yeah, I think
we're not saving paper here.
All right, that's
good
point.
Would you clarify what slate means? None of us here.
You know, slate means all of, instead of voting on each proposal separately, and then, you know, because the full MRT doesn't vote on each recommendation separately, we wanted to vote on whatever the number of proposals come out to this group. We wanted to do a vote on
the full MRT. The full MRT is going to vote on our package up or down.
Yes.
So, you know, we have that were a little bit iffy, then they might close the whole thing.
Correct, and that's why I the intention, it's not the number, but the intention is to put forward a plan of proposals that have strong support. The negative vote is up or down, and that's my understanding. Yes, Lucy.
So if they're going to vote up or down, it won't matter to them that one was more important than 10 in terms of the number. They're going to vote on 10 or whatever number it is. So that as we're voting and deliberating, I'm wondering if it matters that what is the most important and 10 is the least important on the slate, but rather but I know that we've done a prioritization, so it makes sense to go through them that way and see if there's a differentiation. But at some moment,
law of diminishing returns. Right. I mean, we're trying to keep as much full support of the committee as we can. So it's true, we could have 11 or you have 12 or you have 17 theoretically. It's really a vehicle to try to, get the proposals that have the broadest support from this committee to these positions. But there is no set number. And in fact, we've been talking about we have some proposals that were submitted late, for example. We know that we'll get some feedback from the full MRT. They may tweak it. I don't know how extensive the tweaks can be, but maybe it's more than a tweak. Maybe it's a serious change would have to be considered. And then we have also the proposals maybe that are lowest on the priority list that may also might have a chance to be considered somehow if we figured out a way to do this. But you're right. We do know that it's going to have to be, it's up or down, that's how they vote. Yes, Brian.
I guess I just want to express some concerns about a hard number, because when we first began this process, we went into two different subcommittees, which were supposed to come out with 5 each, and one came out with 5 and one came out with 12, which will dramatically skew the number of proposals going forward, and it just seems like that could have a bearing on what gets priority.
Well, we have a prioritization numbers. What is will this group like to do in terms of going forward? Debbie and then Tony.
Are there numbers that are assigned to
these?
Conversation a lot longer, but I don't know if we'll end up getting
first of all, if when I was doing the scoring, I knew that there would be a premium to bullet voting, I might have scored it differently. Nobody told me that if I just said, gee, these are all terrific ideas, I might as well, you know, not send in my score sheet. Because if you give everything a 3, that's the same as not sending in your score sheet. And I think we all would have liked to know that. Secondly, the notion that we ought to be picking and choosing in order to enhance the prospect of the MRT accepting the work group's recommendations, I don't think the MRT has ever failed to approve by a nearly unanimous, if not unanimous, vote anything that has ever been put before it. And I mean, the most radical thing that the MRT has ever done is last week several of us convinced the co-chairs to propose that when we were approving a package, they assured us that at our December 13th meeting, there would be an amendment to a phrase relating to one of the more than a dozen items that were in the package. But the package, nevertheless, got approved. So that's about as wild as the MRT has ever gotten, or I dare say will get. So I think the fact that the MRT votes on packages up or down as a whole and always votes up doesn't argue against us looking individually at items, but argues in favor.
Okay, so again, I guess we could also hear about a little bit more about the prioritization process. But I guess we have to decide. Maybe we need to just present it, given people's views, and then we were trying to do it preemptively because we felt that people's arguments would be perhaps colored by where the particular proposals were not in the process. But given what people have said, I'm thinking that. Well, why don't we present the proposals and just see what it after the fact? Why don't we just give the information and try to come up with the process after the fact? Is that okay with you, George? Yeah. anybody have any, I don't want to keep biting the pen because obviously it's,
I'm sorry, but, I think I'm not here on this whole question of the 10 and the 5. In other words, where Assembly McCarthy is saying that, they shouldn't limit us, but they were being told that they did give us directions that we should limit our number of proposals. So did they or didn't they tell us?
These were just recommendations at some point, I don't remember where. It was not at all. So we're not limited, no. It was at some point, there was some communication about, I think it was more trying to be, targeted and because you could also have, 100 proposals. So obviously the idea is to get a workable amount. The point is, you said that, and then this idea that what we need, sometimes, as you'll probably see when you go through the list, the more proposals that are presented, the harder it is to reach a broad consensus. So you raise other issues with each one, and this is what we were trying to avoid. The sheet, and maybe Karen, you could explain what the numbers mean.
Just to speak for a moment on the MRT process, we were asked to submit approximately 5 proposals. And Catherine's point, we don't have an infinite amount of resources and staff to be able to implement these. And the
the ranking is important because even though it's going to be voted at the plate, those resources need to be allocated accordingly. So if one is ranked the highest, then that's the first thing that we would tackle as staff, you know, trying to move forward. So it's not without purpose to have that ranking. Let me just begin by thanking everyone for their very prompt turnaround time and getting this information back to us in the department to be able to aggregate the information and then be able to get it back out to you. You know, I know that it was a little bit time-consuming, but it was very helpful to us. The one thing that we've done as well is individuals had an opportunity to provide comments when they submitted their score sheets, and before you is this document, which was a proposal that just has the individual comments of different members. You know, we didn't put any individual names on there. And a few were able to be identified. If the person wasn't, so we redacted, you know, that information without taking out the integrity of the comment, just so that the person wouldn't be identified who submitted that information. But before you is this document, which you've just received. And basically, what this is the mean or the final score average of all four scores. And, you know, if for some reason individuals want to get down into each metric and how it scores we can, but this is the final score averaging over all four scores. So you'll see, for example, the number one ranked priority proposal was permitting advanced aids with supervision and training by registered nurses to assist self-directing and non-self-directing consumers with routine C4 medications. That received the highest score, and its mean was 1.81.
Excuse me, can those be emailed to everyone?
Oh, yes.
We don't have that document.
Okay, so we'll get that out to you momentarily. So while we're doing that, and who is all on the phone? It's David, are you in a place that you can actually get this via email?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Knight from United Helpers.
Who is that?
Steve Knight from United Helpers.
And Jean, are you on the phone as well? And Tim Johnson.
Colleen is on. Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Yeah, and Karen, I'm on too.
Okay, so we'll get that out to you as soon as possible. So basically, the first proposal was PIR4, which was original proposals 27, 40, and 66. So do you want me to read the description of those proposals? Would that help in the meantime? Proposal was PIR 15, original proposal number 18. collaborative practice of dental hygienists and redefining the definitions of dental hygiene. The sixth proposal was PIR2. It was original proposal number two, and that allows stackable certification and credentials for direct care workers. Proposal number seven, PIR8, original proposal number 38, enable physician home visits. The eighth grant proposal was PIR7, and that was original proposal number 37, and that would create a New York State primary care service corps. Proposal number nine, which is PIR16, original proposal 84, would reform the New York State social worker licensing laws to address independent practice standards that inappropriately substitute an independent practice model that limits access to outpatient behavioral health care in underserved areas where no independent clinicians exist. Proposal number 10 was PIR10, original proposal number 45, removal of physician supervisor ratio of physician assistants. And then just continuing down this sheet, just to give you the ranking, proposal number 11 was PIR3, the original proposal number 14, promote underutilized programs such as the Consumer Directed Personal Assistance Program that are cost-effective and build on consumer strength. The 12th proposal was PIR 11. It was original proposal number 16, Children's Health Dental Certificate. The next priority was proposal was ranked 13, and that was PIR 13. It was original proposal number 53, which could create certified registered nurse anesthetist scope of practice. Proposal number that was ranked 14 was PIR5, original proposal 33 and 26. Create a senior CNA certification and allow for the completion of pre-court medications and skilled nursing facilities. Priority proposal number 15 was PIR6, original proposal number 8. Develop a process and structure for the objective assessment of all scope and practice changes. That was the proposal that Jane talked about earlier that we kind of pulled out of this, and it was really the multi-year strategy proposal. Priority proposal number 16 was PIR 17, original proposal 77. Expand the scope of practice of podiatrists. Change the definition of podiatry as set forth in the education law to include the treatment of conditions of the ankle and the soft tissue structures below the knee. And the last proposal rank, number 17, was PIR 14, which was original proposal number 54. Establish certification and title protection for clinical nurse specialists.
Okay, let's open for discussion. Thoughts, comments, suggestions, questions?
Is it possible to get another copy of the scoring instructions and maybe just put it up on the whiteboard and remember what a 3 means, what a 0 means? I have my score sheet, but I don't have my
Karen, this is Tim. Can you just, I wrote these all down because I didn't have the document in front of me. Can you just remind me just which PIR was ranked number 7?
I'm sorry, say that again, David.
Which proposal was ranked number 7?
Number 7. That was PIR 8, original proposal number 38.
Okay, and then, PIR 15 was ranked number 5. Is that correct?
PIR 15, that's correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You should have that shortly. What kind of phone? You should have that shortly. We're sending that to you.
And we're trying to get the scoring instructions as well. Any other, again, comments, questions, suggestions? Bill and then Marianne.
First, I want to thank staff. This is really an exceptional analysis. A lot of detail. I really, really appreciate it very much. I had just one kind of observation when I did my scoring and did my own analysis. One of the things that it occurred to me was that the having a negative, starting at negative one and going to three, was particularly an issue in relation to the cost factor. And when I look through the proposal, it seemed more, almost more than any other category, the cost, at least from the standpoint of the its designation of a minus one score, was pretty clear cut one way or another. And so I'm just saying that to say that I'm very surprised on a number of these to see a minus one on cost at all. I mean, it just almost seems to me that for the most, I in my own scoring, I believe I had two that had a minus one for cost. So I just want to point this out that I'm baffled a bit to see so many minus one scores in relation to cost because the directions were so specific.
You're looking at the minimum maximum numbers that you're referring to?
Yeah. I mean, the minimum of the minus one says to me that there was a minus one at least in my opinion.
Any thoughts from your age about that?
I'm
not asking for you. I'm just making an observation.
Mary Ellen? I just wanted to say something before we get started, just deciding what we're going to do. If proposal 8 moves forward, great. If we decide that some of them won't, I just would like everyone to consider making that proposal a huge part of our recommendation for long-term activity and that it becomes the starting place.
Questions, comments, suggestions?
One sort of odd thing about the cost category is that, as I recall, we weren't asked whether things would cost a little or a lot. We were asked about the ratio between what it might cost and what it would return. So something that costs a nickel and returns 50 cents would be scored the same as something that costs $5 million and returns $50 million, and vice versa, right? And yet, something that would return 50 cents would presumably not be as great for the state treasury as something that would return $50 million, even though they'd get the same score on cost.
And Caleb just wrote, you know, behind everyone, for cost and starting to write out the, you know, what are the payments of the other metrics as well. But negative one was short-term dollars, and to Bill's point, you know, there's a number of people actually that scored negative one, you know, in the category, so as is their prerogative to do. So negative one means short-term dollars, you know, zero is neutral, one, you know, return on investment, two to one, return investment, you know, 2 to 10, or 2 to 10 to 1. And then third is 10 to 1. So, and I know with that, we didn't have exact numbers. We hadn't had the time to go work out those cost estimates. We really had to use your best judgment in those categories to be able to make a determination.
Comments, questions, suggestions?
Since the range in average score is from a high of 1.81 and a low of 1.1, seems to me there. Oh, okay.
1.56.
All right. Well. Almost all of them are in the range of 1 point something. I haven't looked on the other side of the page. I apologize. I think that argues for not forcing ourselves to cut off at some arbitrary number. And going forward with ideas that we think are good and not going forward with ideas that there is not a consensus on what they're doing.
I mean, I think that's really the whole point. Agree, it is arbitrary, and you know, we've had discussions on all these proposals, and there are proponents of all of them. So the question really is, you know, how inclusive can we be in this grouping and still maintain a, you know, we would hope to get unanimity, I think, from what we've seen, we may not. And then if that's the case, how do we bring forward a slate that has, you know, strong support? So that's the issue. You know, cut in different ways. You can cut it by the mean, you know, well, you didn't see the other half, so it was 0.56 included in there. But it's really not that. It's really how do we as a group come forward with a grouping that can garner enough support amongst ourselves to, going forward. I think that's how I see it. Brian?
I'm just curious because I remember voting on the proposal that was discussed this morning on the advisory committee, and I don't see that listed on the
scoring
sheet.
It's on the back.
To be drawn.
Yeah.
It's number 15. And, you know, we pulled that out at the end of that just so we felt like that was a different type of thing. And, you know, questioning whether it could just be a proposal or another proposal or something else that was a judgment. Anyway, there it is. Yes, Bob and Audrey and then Stephen.
Use that number 8 as a reference. There seems to be pretty strong support around the table here for that, yet it ranks low. So I'm not sure there's a correlation with the ranking and what the feeling of the committee is. Is that a fair assumption on that?
One comment, if I may. I think the proposal that was in the package was far different than the proposal that Gene presented, I think this morning, when you say that Thursday. I think that Gene's asking staff work. Trying to react to some comments from the work group and put something together that wasn't necessarily as representative of what Gene would have liked to have put forward. So I think, you know, in response to that, I think it was we were trying to get some structure to it, and I think that structure, I think, was not something that people were necessarily supportive of.
Well, at this point, I think we're... It sounds like we're thinking about holding that separate anyway as a sort of a different strategy. There's all the things we're going to do now, and then this will be our strategy going for our recommendation for strategy going forward.
So ultimately, if you were to, you know, do top 10,
yeah,
you know, you would be doing top 10, whatever plus. That is, plus that.
Yeah.
Joy? I'm of two minds with this because I know that all of us invested time and effort and energy and thought rank, so to say, well, it tends to take a lunch. Maybe if Ben says, well, I really do a lot of effort and energy. However, the other part of my mind says, did we not go from 84 down to, so we really did call at least down to 17. So the other part of my mind is, did we go forward 17?
I think that's what people are right. I mean, in some sense, you know, we're trying to continue that culling process so that one to garner as much general support as well as, you know, to really give a sense of priority. But yeah, I think that's exactly the issue. I do have one suggestion. Tell me if you have a suggestion, and then I mean, this is an open process, and we've been very open, you know. Until now, we want to keep on doing that if we can as we go forward. But I would think, what about if we, and going back to the 10, there's nothing magical in 10, it's just sort of the top 10, so now it's a nice ring to it. And is that, you know, maybe try to take a vote for saying the top 10, and then deal with some of the other individual ones, like separately after that, just to get a, you know, a sense of where the group is. So that's I'm just throwing that out like a member of the committee, anybody else. Okay, I'll
start. Audrey and Steve, sorry. As much as I didn't want to be before, I even more don't want to be right now. Because this is very difficult, and, you know, I do want to applaud this equipment. Instead of voting on the top 10, my suggestion would be vote on number 1 and number 17. And just see what the range is. Just give us some sense. Because the other criteria you gave us beyond the top 10, on Kevin Snyder's report is two-thirds of those presents, including the post-chromosomes. So wouldn't it be interesting to see whether, in fact, given that we've all worked hard on these, whether we might just eliminate a few and then it becomes the top 13 and we all become happy?
Well, you know, unless you, we should think about that. I mean, unless you have them all together, you know, voting may be different. You're just voting on one as opposed to voting on one.
Yes, you can see where we are.
Okay, well, did you throw it out to the group? Do people want to do that? Well, let's hear from a few others and see where we end up. Stephen?
My comment is just an observation. I think with the exception of Gene's proposal, and the podiatrist proposal, it would seem that all the folks around the table who are supporting the proposal have a proposal in the top 10, which I think speaks to the consensus process of this group. Again, that's just an observation.
No, I think that was one of the things we were looking at, see a range of interest groups represented in. Okay, so picking up here, Deborah Elliott.
I guess maybe I was thinking that maybe the question should be, if we were to put forth all 17, would it get voted up or down? Is that going to impact as a place? That's what you're saying across the school state. Maybe the question should be, is there concern that if all 17 were put forth as a place, would it not get voted up?
Yeah, going around this way.
Yeah. So, just from hearing some other comments, I don't know whether or not what we might want to do in terms of the long and the short range is to go with these 10 and to do some type of recommendation of further exploration with the other 7. You know, I heard Vikasi say that everything goes up and down, but it just seems to me two concerns that I have is that some of them are not as strongly supported by this. Maybe everything could go down. That would be terrible, and who's done what would just work. And
I actually don't think that we should forward all 17, and I say that, and I'll full disclosure, there are some of these that are ranked quite low that I was very supportive of. But I just think as a matter of process, if we are going to forward all 17, then I don't know what we've been doing the last several meetings, because this group of 17 has basically been what we've been discussing. And if we're just going to forward all of them, then I don't know what the purpose of all the discussion has been. I think I also just want to say that I don't think that if ones that are ranked low are not forwarded, it means that it's the end the end of the discussion on those particular proposals. I think they then should be taken up by the longer-term group that you were discussing earlier, and that would be a perfect forum to discuss those that were ranked lower. Again, with full disclosure that I was in full support of some of those that were ranked quite low.
My other point, Bill, which is that I heard someone say the Department of Health a question about the amount of work that they can do. I think that even 10 is a lot. I know that there's a vast much better, and I think we have to listen a little bit, not give the Department of Health a workload that they're not going to be able to do. So those are my two points.
So the top 10, is there a chance that we could just quickly go through those and say which are regulatory, which are statutory? Because the ones that are statutory are maybe to go into the workforce, but they have to go into the legislature. So if we could list those, it might be helpful.
I mean, I think what we intended to do was once we sort of agreed on this part, that we would have a presentation of 10 or 17, whatever it would be, very briefly, and then people will be able to make a few final comments. That was the hope, of course, with time and everything else to see, but, and then we should go to things. I don't want to just distract us from right now from agreeing to our process, really, that we're going to go forward. Brian, what's your name,
I guess I just had two points. First, to kind of piggyback on what Stephen has said, you know, it seems like almost everyone in the healthcare workforce is represented here except the consumer. The top 10 doesn't include the consumer, which is really the direction in which much of the discussion in healthcare is going these days. The second point I guess I would go to in terms of workload would be that, you know, we all know that the department is, I guess to say understaffed is probably saying it mildly right now, but at the same time they are looking for that advisory committee of which there would be a large workload and there's a large degree of advocacy being put forward on behalf of the department for that. So I think those two things have to be balanced with each other.
I mean, I just want to comment about the consumer, which I totally agree with you. And probably everyone around the table agrees with you. And, you know, I think that we need consumer representation much more. I come from the disability field, so I'm used to, in that context, doing very, very much with consumers. But, and then we get to also the issue of what consumer group would be appropriate given where it ranges here. But it's definitely a shortcoming, I think, of the inclusiveness of this process, for sure.
I would like to recommend we divide the question and take each thing independently. I don't think we're talking about apples and oranges. It's fair to assume that the ranking on this graph is the same as necessary people's desire to move these items forward. I think they're separate issues. And, you know, we have said that if we're going to move this forward, it would be 2/3. I think it would be very easy to just vote on all of them very quickly. And if there's a 2/3 majority, then accept them as something to move forward. Yeah, because I agree, like, you know, item 11, I think is very valuable. It may not be worth a lot on scoring, but it doesn't mean it's not valuable and doesn't desire to move forward. Similarly, I would personally say that there's probably items in the top 10 that, you know, most people may not want to move forward, but they may have had some value. So I think they're separate issues. And so I would divide question and vote on each one.
So you would suggest we vote on each one, but then we still have to come back and vote down on the full slate and that made it into the approved grouping.
Right, because I think if you got a sense of, you know, consensus with a supermajority that you said on each item, then some people might vote on one and the other, but in the end, then you still have a chance to vote up for that also.
Any other suggestions?
Yes. We can, if we're concerned with the number of items, I've got a way to knock the number 17 at least down to 14, because for starters, we've agreed to take line 15 out of the 17, so that gets us down to 16. I think lines 2 and line 14 bear a striking resemblance to line 1, and we could make them one recommendation with 3 points. And then we're down to 14. And, yeah, I think at that point, voting up or down, seeing whether on each item 2/3 vote is in favor of advancing it into the package, and then voting up and down on the package makes a lot of sense.
Just one comment. For 2 and 14, you know, we did have some conversations about whether or not those two proposals could be combined, but, you know, I don't know that we, you know, can necessarily get consensus from the group in that regard. The first one is in the home health aid setting. The second is in the skilled nursing facility setting.
Yeah.
So not taking positions either way. It's just, you know, I leave it to the discretion of this group, but there was some sense expressed that there needed to be perhaps a little bit more work on 14 in the skilled nursing facility setting, and I'll let the members speak to that directly. But while we're not taking a position, that was just, you know, what we did on the expert group.
So this is someone from the member of that work group, you want to say something about that? I mean, obviously, it could have been done in that work group, but it wasn't. So perhaps you could address the suggestion.
I'd like to address that suggestion. Specifically related to rank 14.
I can't hear the speaker.
I made the original proposal, which was two-fold proposal. One, to expand the scope of the CNA to include application of medicated creams, maybe doing blood pressure readings, glucose testing. Separate from that was the actual med tech proposal, because the med tech is a contentious issue with probably many of us here. But I think in long-term care, if you look at expanding the scope of the CNA, that will save a lot of time to the nurses in our facilities.
You know, this can have to be, of course, the patient has subgroup that we
correct.
Have. So right. You can't have that in context before and this is discussed. So maybe Helen and some other members of the group, and I know Troy was as well.
Just as somebody
who
was helping to facilitate the subgroup, I think there were two things. One is that the subgroup actually recognized that there were a number of issues related to the medication skilled nursing facility that we did not get to fully address in our discussion. So it was actually moved forward with a caveat of the need for work. And then Doug, unfortunately, was not able to clarify his proposal versus the other, so that it became clear after our last meeting that really the discussion was not as fully informed as it needed to be in order to make this, I think, a fully viable proposal. People should contact you if that's not accurate.
No, I think that's totally accurate. I think, however, that we could probably find a way to say, and this is not exactly the way, to create advanced aides within the CNA and home health aide field who, with appropriate training and under the direct supervision of a registered nurse, could expand their scope of practice to include, among other things, assisting with medication, simple treatments, et cetera. I think we could find a way to do it. And if it was the feeling of the group, I'd be happy to work with them.
This evolution of the MRT that we're looking at, workforce flexibility and social practice, is the next evolution, do we know what that's going to be? The reason I'm asking that question is that all 72 designs of these proposals are good proposals, and some of them got better scores than others. Is there a way to tier it, to say, okay, the first 10 are going to go forward, but the second 6 or 7, whatever the term is, if that it turns out that the workforce studies either stays in or gets something else happens? Is there a way to say, let's hear this, so those ideas don't die?
Yeah, I think Jim made a suggestion. I think it's a very good one. And,
I know I'm not telling
you. No, but I think this may be, you know, a group that's going forward, with the strong support that we have here, and then others that can go into a longer term. Now, I think with the MRT, I've never heard the term before, the full MRT, they're talking about parking lots and so on. Clearly, I'm just trying to get into full MRT, hopefully a slate that they can approve. I don't even know what happens exactly after that, because in the meeting it gets a recommendation, but what happens to a recommendation that requires statutory change and so forth? It's not as big. So I do think there's some merit in this idea of short term and long term as an inclusive way to at least keep everything somewhat on the table. In the process that we're not even clear about the timeline for our top proposal, the number one range.
Okay. Well, we are asked to do both the short term and then the long term, 3 to 5 years, what we want to work on. We were talking about before. So, I think that we don't want to lose these other ideas. And I know that there was, I remember Orsi making a suggestion that you might want to look at psychosocial. And it would seem like there was more work about what that senior would be in terms of being patient-centered in addition to dealing with the med issues. So to me, this is something we definitely need to do, but I think they're not ready to do it yet. So is there a way, just from that one, is there a way that we can, in fact, probably recommend some ongoing process, because otherwise what does happen to the long-term suggestion?
Exactly.
You don't want them to be dropped.
We also have some new proposals that didn't quite get in under the deadline. You know, we have a few from the Medical Society, and we have some, you know, the dental hygiene. So these are ones that didn't quite get in to get prioritized, and we didn't want to say, oh, it's over. You know, we wanted to find a way to have those be considered. You know, perhaps the move into the long-term bucket, for lack of a better word, might be a place to house those subject to further process. Rather than being eliminated if that was the decision that was made. So I think that long term is a good possibility.
I just want to say that in terms of the prioritization, this approach that has been taken by staff to achieve this list is one I feel very comfortable with. And various proposals about how we proceed with the process today have been suggested, but I just want to say that if ultimately, whatever we put forward, whatever number is on that list, that I would endorse utilizing this system and the numbers here, even though they're not perfect, as the method for prioritization of whatever list we set forward.
Okay. Further comments? Okay. So.
I'm here to build back up because just reminding me about the CHW, that there were other things that I think we should remove that we said should go on long term. And so we should at some point, before November 15th, just review, these are the ones that we said we thought were important. And then I would recommend that these seven go into that. And then we have this as a list, and this is what we want to work on.
Okay, now we need to figure out, given everything that everybody said, like how to proceed. So, I'm going to make a first suggestion, and then, I mean, there are a couple ways we can go forward, obviously, people have suggested. I'm going to go back to my original idea, just get a, you know, a sense of it, voting on a 10, top 10, here, up or down, just to see where we stand with that, you know, and two-thirds majority, or the whole that slate, that would tell us something. And that the remaining proposals go into a sort of longer-term category that we still have to clarify what that means. So that's one idea. You know, some of the other ideas that were presented were that we just go through each proposal and vote them separately, see what that shows, and then we come back to it, you know, based on that. So, but I'm also trying to expedite things a little bit. And, you know, so I'm gonna start with the original one, which is given whatever, and I heard what everybody said, well, every point was a good point. It's not meant to be exclusive. It wasn't meant to, you know, like, you know, go through this. I don't have any proposals of mine that are in this that I'm trying to navigate. It's just a process. So let me start with just the top 10 full group slate, just to see what would be a final decision. Let's see where we're at from that process starting off there. What's about that?
Good. I think it makes sense to first let the group decide what motion we want to move on. Since there are two, unless your plan is that before anything happens, we go both routes. Namely, first see if we like the top 10 by a vote of 2/3, and then see which items get a 2/3 vote for inclusion in a package that doesn't have a step limit on it.
I have no grand plan. I'm just trying to figure out. I'm happy with these. I'd be satisfied with either as long as it got to a good conclusion. So, you know, maybe someone put forward, you know, I'm not a parliamentarian, so I'm not always sure about exactly how to proceed, but if someone has a, you know, a sort of a motion that we do something, that would be good. You're welcome to do that.
How about just maybe a little twist? What if we voted on the top 10 as a block and then the others for 2/3? And if anything hits the 2/3, then we can go back and maybe add that to the top 10.
Good idea.
I'm noticing that number 3, the very low variation, the consensus that everybody seems to be in favor of that one.
side, because everybody didn't want it. And then you look at 11 and 12, they're tied. You count that as 10. You could really have 12, but it's tied to 10.
Yeah, when it's 10, it's 12, and because they're, those are tied. And, again, that's an arbitrary. 10 was arbitrary to start with. Well, that's, Tori, what do you think of this? You run a lot of meetings, right, Tori? I don't know. Certainly not like this, but this is a process and a fair process.
You need a motion.
You need a motion. Can we get a motion to somebody to go on?
I think.
Tim, you got a motion?
Yeah, my motion would be to vote on the top 12 as and see if you get a two-thirds majority for those top 12, and then you can decide what to do with the others after that.
Okay, there's a motion to vote on the top 12 as a block and see what happens. And
I would offer an amendment.
Yes, sir. Is there a second to that motion?
I second it.
Okay. Now, are there any amendments now? Okay.
Yeah, my proposed amendment would be that after we vote on the top 12, we then vote on each of the remaining items, and that any item that receives a two-thirds vote be included in the package. As opposed to saying, after we vote on the top 12, we'll see what we do next. I don't want to vote on the top 12 until I know what the procedure will be next. And that's what I would suggest
the
procedure be.
You could have a separate, two-thirds vote would allow us to go into the
top 10,
the
whatever
topic,
the number
is. And we have to vote on that, the full slate again, to make sure that it maintains its two-thirds. So you can have two-thirds on an individual item, but it might affect the overall voting.
Well, conceivably, at the end, we'd want to take one more vote to see if we approve the whole package. But before we get to that point, I don't want to vote on a top 12 and then discover that the next thing I hear is, well, now that we voted on the top 12, shall we vote on whether any of these ought to bump one of the 12? If I'm going to vote for 12, up or down, I want to know that I will next be able to vote on the remaining ones, and that any of them that get two-thirds will be included in the package.
So my suggestion originally was not to bump, but to add, so that you find your top 12 might be 14. Yeah.
No bumping. I don't think that would be
addition.
And that there will not be a limit on how many items from the 17 can get approved.
I mean, if we just do the top 12 and then consider afterwards what to do with the others. They could be included, I guess. They could be moved to longer term. They could be, they may not have enough,
Well, right. If they don't get a two-thirds vote, then they won't be included in the package. But if they do, they should be.
I just want to do a little bit of a reality check, too. So prior to taking the vote, which on the motion that's on the table, and the maker of the motion can decide whether to accept the assembly and amendment, I would like Aaron, if you can, just to give us a sense of reality, for lack of a better way to put it.
Well, my only concern is a perfect kind of remarks to the department doesn't have infinite resources, so what you're going to be moving forward, be mindful that, we're going to need to try to work off in a fully fleshed out form to get to the MRT before the 15th. Some of these are in better shape than others, so that staff work has to win in the 15th, and then we need to get this to the full MRT. Any comments the full MRT has, we need to try to get those back, work our process, how we work with the author, the proponent and the opponent, in the chair, to be able to incorporate that before the full MRT on the 13th, and then even after the actions taken on the full MRT on the 13th, we the department have to go into implementation mode, for all of you. So I just want to make sure that everyone's mindful of not having finite resources necessarily. And I'm not saying anything about any proposals, and The other thing that people need to take into serious consideration is MRT is voting is up or down. So everything that gets added to the slate, you know, impacts potentially the MRT voting it up or down. So if you move with 17, then you move with 17.
Can I just pick up on Karen's point?
Go ahead.
You know, I don't necessarily agree with all due respect to with Assemblyman Gottfried's proposal, but I do think we just have to be cognizant. The department has limited resources, and if we're going to wind up getting a two-thirds vote on 16 and 17 of these, well, then I really question the integrity of this process and why we've even gone through the scoring, because I think, and again, there are proposals here that are ranked quite low that I was very supportive of, but I'm very mindful that we've gone through this process where everybody has voted, and I want to be respectful of this process. So I don't just want to, you know, come up with a way to figure out how we can get everything in somehow. So with that caveat, I'm more than happy if you want to move forward.
Yeah, point of information. I'm a little bit confused, maybe. And so what we're talking about then is to limit the discussion to the top 10 or possibly 12 items. Does that necessarily move them forward to the MRT as approved, or then we're going to discuss each one individually?
My suggestion would be that we would vote on the top. I think Tim's suggestion was that we vote now or after, you know, presentation of proposals, but I think we know them pretty well. I mean, I don't just hope, hey, look, come on, let's just go to the top 12 and try to get a little bit inclusive there, and just vote them, you know, see what a vote is. And if we get two-thirds, those would be our recommendations there. Then there's the question of what about the others remaining? And, you know, I'd almost rather just, so we can move forward, just say, let's do the top 12 that Tim was suggesting, and then have a further conversation about what to do with the others, not being in the
further clarification from the authors, then shouldn't we hear that before we vote?
Well, that's my point. So if we're not voting just on process, we're actually voting, then we just need to perhaps go into, you know, into the amendments and revisions.
Sorry, but we shouldn't be on sort of process first. And again, trying to be mindful of the time and, you know, then, but what we just said here in terms of the process wouldn't differ
right
in terms of any clarification by any.
Okay, so, all right, so if we vote for, say, the top 10 as a slate, then that is to be passed forward to the MRT without further discussion. But what my concern is, if you look under the variations in scoring, you know, there are some of them, many of them are, you know, are kind of no-brainers. There's very little variation, but others are going to be highly debated, and I'm not sure it's fair to say that some that are highly variable are going to necessarily get a two-thirds vote by the committee. So I'm concerned with passing this as a slate outright, you know, without taking the more highly variable ones individually.
Okay. So
speaking as one of the proposals that has some high variability, the reason for high variability is that it's a hot button item. However, the ranking is still a ranking. The points are still points. And the points are either earned or achieved, of course. So to try to tear this apart now, because we aren't attacking the gap tone, is, well, it's not really honoring the process.
Yeah.
I just wanted to confirm that Tim did not accept the amendment and that the number is 12. Is that correct? Tim?
I guess what I would say is I don't necessarily accept the amendment because I'm concerned that we could then wind up in a position where 17 proposals get voted on and come up with a two-thirds majority, and then we're simply forwarding 17, and I don't think that's a good outcome for this group.
Okay, so we have Tim's motion on the table, and what happens when an amendment has been accepted by the voters?
The custom is the body is given the opportunity to vote on the amendment.
I'm not
even sure. It's the maker of the. Do you want to make a comment?
Well, two comments. I'm not sure when we moved from 10 to 12 what the two additional ones are, but I would note that on priority item number 9, we'd be using up one of our 10 or 12 on an item that I've talked to the chair of the Assembly Higher Ed Committee, and I can now say not only would she probably oppose it, but she would, in fact, adamantly oppose it. So whether we want to use up one of our 9, one of our 10 or 12 on that one is dicey. I would not vote in favor of a package of 10 or 12 unless I knew that we would then put the other items to a vote, and if anyone got two-thirds, they would be added to the package. So I vote against the motion as
okay.
It now stands.
Okay. So I think the intention was the 11th and 12th ones on the list would be the 12 that were voted. That would be 14 and 15. That's your view. I would also say, again, I don't think it's helpful to introduce what we know about other things and other people. That we could probably say that about a lot of the proposals where someone may have a strong opinion about it.
Well, we're being asked to drop some proposals that two-thirds of us like because of the external information that the DOH staff feels it would, writing them up would be an overload on them.
All right. Well, let's just stick to the in terms of, we have a motion, right? Is this a comment on the motion?
If we defeat this motion, you could then go to 10 proposals. Is that correct?
We could open it up again for something else. Any other comments? Yes.
What are you asking to vote for right now?
We wanted to wish an up or down vote, yes or no, on the top 10.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I thought we were voting on the process, not the amendment. The process.
On the process that we would.
This is Tim. As I understand it, the motion before us is to whether or not to vote on the process of voting as a block for the top 12, not whether or not we're voting for the top 12, but the process of the...
And there is an amendment on the table.
Okay, so how do we deal with the amendment?
So parliamentary procedures. That's the motion that was just stated. It's properly accepted. There was a suggested amendment. The maker of the proposal rejected the amendment. So the amendment died. And after the vote,
I would disagree on the point of order. If an amendment is proposed to a motion, the body votes on it. I don't have Roberts in my pocket.
Parliamentarian for professional associations. Once an amendment is presented to the body, that becomes owned by the body, not the maker. Secondly, if there is an amendment to the original motion, the amendment has been seconded, the
body must vote on the amendment before they go back to the original motion.
That sounds official. So we have an amendment.
Okay, so that motion, since this is a good time, wait a second, to
Let's get lunch is ready. I could use a break. I apologize for some of my lack of background here.
I move that either now or after lunch, we proceed to vote individually on the remaining items, and then any item that receives a two-thirds affirmative vote be added to the package.
Second.
Okay, we have... Yeah, I'm trying to think about that one a little bit.
Next. Excuse me, Mary Ellen, may I ask you, in this case, if the motion contradicts the previously passed motion, is there a parliamentary procedure?
The only motion that you all voted on was the process for accepting the first 12, so I would think that the motion was out of order.
Okay.
Well, the maker of the original motion said that after we vote on the top 12.
We're going to accept you. We're going to allow your motion. You don't have to argue for the motion. We're going to allow your motion to come in if there is a second to the motion. There is a second to the motion. So based on that, there is a motion. There is not a second to the motion. Is there any discussion on the motion at this point?
Just as perhaps an alternative, and maybe this ends up being another motion that we take up later, but what if we looked at those as a block and I attach them to number 8 and with the recommendation that these as a block be the first work group for the number 8 for the going forward in the future?
I second that motion.
You're making that as a amendment to the motion. Does the maker of the motion accept that amendment?
Well, so that those items would not go into
Is there a second to the amendment?
Yes, I second that amendment.
So second to that amendment. Now the body must vote on whether or not that is accepted on the amendment. So now there is discussion on the amendment to the motion.
Does the amendment say that the remaining items would under no circumstances be included in the document that we send to the MRT, but would instead be set aside for some future discussion if and when the MRT's existence is continued by the governor, which might or might not happen?
No, I believe my intent was just, and we haven't really fleshed out what we're doing with, is it number 8? Right, number 8. The thought was that perhaps we would separate that completely from all of them and say, and by the way, this is our recommendation going forward, that there's this ability to have an advisory group. So, and continue that and say, and these other 6 are the things that we recommend be the first things that are taken up by this advisory group. Now, when it starts, separate and apart from the MRT, it could be, we talked about it so that it doesn't get confused that it perhaps starts in the next legislative year. At this point, I don't care. It's just another way of looking at it. It gives 8 some legs, it gives it some work, and it gives it a purpose, and the other items aren't lost to, we're not going to talk about them anymore. So I'm not sure if that clarifies it. But.
So,
thank you. On the amendment to the motion, what
I just said, and I had asked you for the review of the ones that our committee had said that they thought were priorities for long term. And I know there's a question of community health and education navigators. There are a number of ones that we thought were very pressing in terms of the changes in healthcare. And see what we had said. They needed more work, so they're not on this list of 17. And you know, I would think that would be good, but I think that we should look at 2 or 3 from our group that ought to be added to that first group of what's looked at, because they were really ones that we said need more work if they're extremely important. So, but I don't have that list. I would ask, what was that list in front of me? But I know that the Key Health Organization Navigator was too, and I would say that those two should definitely be, I think, care coordinator. There was a number of them that for terms that are being used, but we don't really have definitions and we don't have credentials, maybe it should be in those three. Informal database navigator and DHW.
On the amendment to the motion, is there any other comments? Seeing no other comments or questions, calling the question on the amendment to the motion. All those in favor of amending the motion as proposed, raise your hand. Okay.
I'm not sure where.
What is the amended?
Yeah, I
agree. It's hard to keep up here.
You know what I think the problem is? There's two different tracks. If I understood Assemblyman Gottfried correctly, it would look at each one and see if any of them are worthy to be added to the 12. And what I said was, I don't know whether or not this is a different methodology or so perhaps a different motion, or could we take those as a group, attach them to 8, and say, here's a body of work going forward. So they may actually be two different motions.
So, if actually that was what I was preferred to do, but I'm trying to follow previously discussed parliamentary procedure.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Thank you very much. Motion has now been withdrawn. The amendment has been withdrawn. Assemblyman, can you please now repeat the motion that's on the table?
That after we vote on the top 12 as a package, we then proceed to vote on each of the remaining items, and that any item that receives a two-thirds affirmative vote be added to the package of our recommendations.
Okay. That motion has been seconded. So now, if there's no further discussion on that motion, I'm going to call a question on the motion. Seeing or hearing no further discussion on the motion, calling the question on the motion. All those in favor of the motion, raise your hand or speak if you're on the phone. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Is there anyone on the phone that's in favor of the motion? It's getting very emotional. Okay, hearing no one on the phone in the affirmative on the motion. All those opposed to the motion, raise your hand or say nay. Okay, is there anyone on the phone that is in opposition to the motion?
Opposed.
So we have one opposition. Okay.
One opposed.
So how many hands?
So we have, I don't think we need to call a special because I think the motion is defeated, and I don't know if this motion gets recorded by name. It seems that the two-thirds have defeated the motion, so the motion is defeated. Okay.
Is it time for a break, maybe?
The lunch will be here in about 2 minutes.
Well, then, it's definitely time for a break. And we're going to reconvene at 1:30. How's that, Jeff? 1:30 at, how about 40 minutes? Reconvene at 1:30. Thank you.
Now we have to go.
Thank you.